things up. You know, it's like what one of the you know, when a mixed plate, go over to L&L. What do you want? Mixed plate. So all kind of God works in that way too. So this morning we're gonna do a little bit of different style. It's gonna be the first part is gonna be conducted by Uncle Dennis. Uncle Dennis is gonna be talking on the service, and I'll be come behind him, and I'll be talking on a spiritual gift, the importance of spiritual gifts, and why would we have to know our spiritual gift if you're a member of the church. Very important. So let's welcome Uncle Dennis in the name of Jesus Christ.
We're going to do things a little different today that I've never seen done in church before, but we're going to have a conversation. And we're going to talk about service, and I want to get people involved, and we're going to have a conversation between me and you. And I'll read some scripture. I hope we do anyway. I hope people participate. The first scripture is 1 Peter 4, 9 to 11, and that's I got a funky ear. Okay. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, that so you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. I have some notes that I will talk out of. First, before we go any farther, most of you know me. I was a commercial fisherman in Alaska for many, 40 years. I grew up in northwest corner of Washington in a little town called Blaine that had 24 bars and 12 churches. So that's kind of the background I come from. I was raised in the church, and I never thought I would be in this position, ever. But I am, and this church has challenged me from the beginning. There's one of the challenges right over there and just around the room. And I really thank you for all of that. Okay, now this thing that I just read, verse 4:8, it says, with love. We serve one another with love. And that means if your neighbor needs help, help him. That's service to God. It's a different way to think about this, but when you see a troubled teenager, talk to him, advise him, help him. And then verse 4:10 is what do you use to talk to kids or people or to help people? It's the gifts God gave you. Now, some of these gifts are spiritual. Most of them are spiritual. But there's also gifts that we have. The ability to work hard is a gift. And it's a gift from God. And it's a blessing. And many of you know about that. And then there's many other gifts. There's a gift of speaking and
better.
Okay. Thank you. You guys will just have to bear with me. So, and, you know, service is not just in the church. It's in the community. You see somebody on the street and you even speak to them. Someone's ill. They're in the hospital. Call them up. Say, I'm thinking about you. Pray for them. These are all serving gifts. We have people in this church who, you know, do tremendous amount of work. Davelin, for the food bank is wonderful. Thank you so much. We've always been, you know, we used to look for something for you to do, and we really found a really good spot for you. Thank you. Rick and Irene, I look at them, and you talk about service. They are constantly serving this church, you know, and people. It's a wonderful gift. Suki and Zach off to mission. So wonderful. Zach came and preached here for a year, really in a spot when we really needed him. He was wonderful. Darren, in his speaking, I can just go around the room. Maybe I should just stop doing that because I'm going to leave too many people out. But, you know, to all of you, thank you. We, you know, as a church, we can't function without that. So, and then my notes say that we're going to talk about the power of God a little bit. So that would be verse 11. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. That's a pretty strong statement. That's what how we need to look at service. I think we'll move on to Galatians 5:13 and 14. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of glory and God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? So what he's saying is we need to serve. You know, we need to be involved. I'm challenging everyone in here to get involved with the church. Ask, what can you do? There's need. There's always need. One of the other things that I really would like to talk about is what are things that we as a church, and this is something that's up for a long time discussion probably, but what are things that we could do in this church to be involved with this community right around here? You know, the food bank is certainly wonderful, and it's something we do, but we should be doing more. And, you know, I don't know what that more is. I don't have an idea, but if you have an idea, speak up. You know, you can raise your hand now and talk anytime you want to about any of this. So if you have an idea of something we could do or any way we can serve in the community, it would be good. John?
I don't even like. I would very much like for someone or more than one person to come to a lady drive with me and witness to people. Saturday, or that's the day that's good for me because I work Monday through Friday. So I have so many rich encounters with the public when I'm on the street witnessing to people. Yeah. And it's very gratifying. And it's also gratifying in a sense that you're doing something that's not motivated by money. I mean, Personally, money is a necessary evil, so to speak, in the culture in which we live. So I have to do my work. I do my work as unto the Lord, looking to Him for my recompense. Yes, I get a paycheck. Yes, I can pay the bills. But when we do things that are driven purely out of a love for Christ, there's a fulfillment that you get in that. That's so much better than a paycheck. It really is. And if you have a fear of speaking to strangers, I know not everybody is comfortable speaking with strangers or someone you've never met. One of the things I do to keep in the back of my mind is I'm probably never going to see this person again in the rest of my life. If they're here and most of them are tourists, then you get a chance to pour into that person. maybe plant a seed in their heart. You may not see the fruit straight away, but it does happen sometimes. I have been blessed by God, used by God to bring someone to Him. And that's the richest thing we can do. And of course, walk in love.
Amen.
Anybody else? Anybody else have a comment? There's in Matthew 20, 26, I think it's 28. This is a quotation from Jesus. He says, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." This, you know, that's a command. To me, that's a command that we're directed to serve. We're directed to serve the church and the communities we live in. And everything we do as much by example as by what we say. When you go and serve somebody, you go help somebody, you're setting an example. And when they see the goodness that can come out of you through these kind of things, they want to be like you. And that's really a message from God. So, you know, be sure to take advantage of that. And then I'm just, you know, I have more scripture, but I'm just going to kind of close this off and talk a little bit about, you know, how do you serve? You know, you help people, you help neighbors, friends, and then service in the church and community, working with the youth. We have a youth group here, and Virgie and I have gone a few times and met with them. It's wonderful. I mean, I'm the one who gains when I work with those kids. I'm the one who gets really blessed. I feel so good after I talk with them and meet with them. It's so satisfying. They're really, really a good bunch of kids. And I think most kids are good. And, you know, we have a chance to influence and do things with them. Worship. There's, you know, thank God we are so blessed with so much music in this church. It's such a blessing. Teaching. We have teachers. You know, the people sign up for a lesson to teach in the green room. Terry said it today as well as it can ever be said. He said, "I learned so much and I gained so much by studying for this." And he did a really good job, by the way. And leaders and evangelism, as John was talking about, sign up and go help John. Spend a day with him. And then, you know, one of the things that's in my mind is constantly in my mind is if you can't believe in God without changing your life, you will want to serve. If you believe in God, you want to serve. You want to help people. That's part of what we do as a church. We talked about this at the prayer meeting yesterday. We were talking about Auntie Clara. But she had a joy. How many times have we sat here where she was in the back of the room and picked up her ukulele and walked up to the front of this church? And how did we all feel? Joy. You know, so there's and that's service. What she did is service. And there's a joy in service. There's nothing you can do that's going to make you feel better. And this is just on a personal level that will make you feel better than helping somebody else or giving something to somebody else. I would much rather give something than receive something. I'm embarrassed when I have to receive something. So, and then, you know, that again, we need to find more things in the community that we can do. And then the challenge I will give you, all of you, and this is from my own personal experience. If you step up and get involved in this church, you will be challenged. You will be expected to do things that, you know, that are probably, you think are beyond you. I'm beyond where I should be right now. So, you know, when I was serving on the board, I've been on boards for 20-some years before I came to this church. And it was very comfortable with that. And Eric asked me several times to become an elder or on the pastor board. And I didn't really want to do it because I knew that sooner or later I would be in this position. And I'm here. And it's okay. And I hope that I haven't disappointed anybody too bad. But it's this church has been a blessing. And I want to thank all of you. And I'm done.
Praise God. Thank you.
Hey, Rebecca.
Brother Benny, thank you.
Someday I'll learn how to wear a mic.
Did a great job. Amen. Everybody agree with that? Service, about service. Service, imagine a lot about joy. You know, joyful service. For you to have a joyful service, you have to be inspired by God. Amen. It doesn't matter how hard it is, or kind of mountain you climbing up, or whatever stream or river you're swimming across, how tough it is, it will become easy when God is inspired. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, that's the service. All right, church, I want us, it's a two different service and gifts. Service comes out when you have a spiritual gift inside of you. Right? When you have a spiritual gift, when you know that God called you to do this, you joyfully serving the body of Christ, and not only just in the body of Christ, but outside the church. Amen? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Service. You have to be inspired by God. Inspiration from God comes through the spirit of a spiritual gift. Amen? Okay. Our Bible verses this morning, if you have a Bible, let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 12. It's going to be the whole chapter, but I'm going to read from chapter 1 to 11. But before we do that, let's bow our head and pray. Father, we thank you so much this morning. Thank you, Lord, Father, that you're here with us, God, Father, to come and digest the word, God, Father, to know the truth. Lord, the truth prevailed in us, God, Father, that people may see you through us, God, Father. Help us this morning, God. Be the vocal card of myself and my... Be my vocal card, God, Father. Be the mouth that speaks for us this morning, God. Father, more of you and none of me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. But before we get into 1 Corinthians with the Bible verse this morning, I just want to introduce myself. So some of us actually, we probably like talk stories in the past and never knew who really I am and where I come from. I come from this planet. I'm Josh Ginner, not my real name, just Tony Ginner, from PG, born and raised with my two beloved parents. They love the Lord, born and raised in a Christian family, but I tend to kind of not deeply involved in the Word of God. And I know it relates to some of us sitting this morning. We're all human beings. And I know the Lord, I know who Jesus is, but I was actually doing the opposite of that. From Fiji, I was looking for a career, and somehow I got into to England, and I was serving in the military out there for 8 years. Been in England, and then I moved from England to Seattle when I found April. My wife, everybody knows who April is. And we got married, and we bought two beautiful kids, Nicole and Natalie. And we moved from Seattle to Hawaii simply just to be around with the mom and the dad that was in our hearts. She was missing her parents. And we planned to be only here for like a year, but 9 years, we're still here. Praise God. That's something that I'm going to be talking about, my testimony on God working in the process in our spiritual life. We had Derek. He did a great job. Praise God. Last week, you know, talking about the heart-to-heart, pride. Pride is completely against God. And he talks about the pride comes in a shallow form. I like that. It's like a maggot eating up a tree, slowly, up and down, up and down, up and down. Years gone past, it's still eating, and next thing you know, but you cannot see from the outside. It's eating inside, and that's what he talks about, the pride. Pride, church, is something that a lot of us have problem with. And he says from the lust of eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And that's something that we have to pray for, you know, to take it away from us. I think from that, when God takes that away, we allows us to serve Him effectively. It benefits the church. It benefits us too. I'm saying this for us, not to elevate us. I'm saying this to encourage us. I'm not born to be a preacher. But by the grace of God, He's setting me up here. The Holy Spirit has put me up here. From what I'm saying to you this morning, it's not from my own mind, not from my own understanding. It's God speaking forth through me to bless our congregation this morning. Amen. So I encourage us. I encourage us to start getting involved in the church. You know, to start even not only just a church, wherever you may be, even at work, even at home, whatever you can glorify God with, utilize it before you lose it. Amen. And my kids, just 3 days ago, I was sitting down with them, and I said, "Hey, Nicole, Nelly, I don't know if you know that Daddy's going to be preaching this Sunday." He's like, "Preaching? I don't know what they're thinking of. Oh, man, where are you going to stay?" I said, "Well, I don't know. Bob's going to preach what God has put in my heart. It's not what I want them to hear. It's what God wants them to hear." And I said, "Can you pray for me?" They were laying hands on me, and they were praying for Daddy. I bring tears in my heart. So parents, if you have kids, train them while they're young. Train them. The word says, train them. Teach the kids while they're young. When they grow, they will never depart from me. Amen? Oh, pride. I mean, sorry, not pride. Spiritual gift. Spiritual gift. Spiritual gift is a very broad topic. It's hard to kind of put it together in 20 minutes, 25 minutes. So I'm going to try as much as I can to actually simplify what is a spiritual gift. And we'll be looking at the problem that Corinth was having, the Corinthians was having at that time, is actually not knowing what were their spiritual gift is. So in 1 Corinthians, and I want to ask the church to read with me, 1 Corinthians 12. No problem. We have time. We have time. Well, if you have a Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians 1:11. Okay, I'll read it from here. I have NIV version. Spiritual gifts. Now about spiritual gifts. Brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, "Jesus be cursed," and no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same gift, by the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to teach one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one day is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, and to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecies. To another distinguish between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still other the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And He gives them to each one just as He determines. And in the says just as He wills. And another way of saying it, as God sees it fits. So it's not us determining what kind of spirit you can get. It's by the Holy Spirit. The he that is there in the word out here is by the Holy Spirit. Amen? So the best gift giver, is Jesus, is the Lord himself, giving his son to die on the cross for us. And I don't know if anybody can outclass that one there. We cannot outreach that one there. Amen?
Amen.
That's the best gift giver that God has for us. That shows how much he loves us. He gave his son for us to have an eternal life. So spiritual gifts. There was a lot, like I said in the beginning, in Corinth at that time, there was a lot of confusion. A lot of things, people don't know what the spiritual gifts is. So this morning, I'm going to digest the word, what is spiritual gifts. And in spiritual gifts, there's two words, spiritual and gifts. Spiritual comes from the word, a Greek word called ton pneumatikon. Being characterized or controlled by the Spirit. And gifts, from a Greek word too, so charisma, hence charismatic. Root word charis means grace. So grace. So if Tom Mimetson tells that spiritual gifts are things characterized by the Holy Spirit, charisma teaches us that they are gifts of God's grace. What is a spiritual gift? Spiritual gift is a God-given capacity for every believer to carry out his function in the body of Christ effectively. So you have a spiritual gift. That spiritual gift is there to edify the church and equip the saints. Spiritual gift, a good definition that I seen was actually none other than best place to look at is from the Word of God. Ephesians 4:11-16. It was he who gave some of the apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we are all reach unity and in the knowledge of Son of God and become mature. We go back to chapter 12 again. Sorry, verse 12. Want to read that with me? What he says in verse 12? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. That it was a spiritual gift. That's why God gave us the spiritual gift, to build each other up. And not to elevate your own self more than the person next to you. Me preaching out here, it doesn't mean that I'm more holy than you. I'm just the same as the person that is cooking down there. Auntie Irene, Uncle Reed, being the greeter. If they were having people, settling vehicles, it's the same level of gifts. We cannot elevate ourselves. God doesn't like that. He wants unity. He wants harmony within us. So the gift that God has given you, don't think you're better than the person next to you. And that's one of the things that they were having a problem in Corinth at that time. We're going to look into it. There was a lot of confusion going on. There was a lot of counterfeit was going on. There's a lot of fakers out there in Corinth at that time. And Paul was actually responding to a letter that was coming from Corinth about the issues that they were facing at that time. And one of them was actually the spiritual gifts. Sexual immorality was going on. Leaders are fighting each other. Division of churches. My gift is better than your gift, as we were saying, elevating each other and suing each other. And so many things was going on. And Paul was actually aligning them with them. And there was a lot of confusion that we now know where the confusion comes from. Where does the confusion come from? From the devil himself. He loves to confuse the body of Christ. So guard yourself, pray. With the gift that God has given you. Pray for unity. Pray for harmony. He comes in like a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He loves to present himself attractively. Look at the verse out there. He said that Jesus be cursed. In chapter 12, I'll read it for us.
chapter 12 in verse 3, he says, therefore I tell you that no one is speaking by the Holy Spirit. Paul is telling them, if you have the Holy Spirit, you cannot be saying Jesus is cursed. The Holy Spirit will be saying Jesus is Lord. And we can see that in these churches he says, that's what we're facing. You know, we think we know better than what the Word of God is saying to us. And that's what we have to pray for the church, pray for the leaders, for the gift that God has given us. And that, he's saying, no doubt about the Corinth at that time, there were a lot of people who weren't aware. They were ignorant. That's what he said in the first verse. He says, there's a lot of them who are ignorant. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant or unaware. So now we're sitting in there, we're thinking, okay, what is a spiritual gift? When somebody told me, first asked me what a spiritual gift, I don't even know what spiritual gift is. You know, why would I have a spiritual gift? Or when do I use it? Or what is a spiritual gift? So spiritual gift, this morning I want to go through with some of the examples. Administration. Discernment. Evangelism. Exhortation. Faith. Giving. Healing. Teaching. Interpretation. Knowledge. Or leadership. And so forth and so forth. It's 21 spiritual gifts God has provided for us. So for us, it covers the multitude. It covers everything that we do in church. So if you're sitting here and say, well, we don't have a spiritual gift. Everybody has a spiritual gift. And some have more than one. That was the first truth. Devil loves to confuse. Second truth this morning is spiritual gifts need to be understood. The Corinthians didn't understand what the spiritual gift was or how to use it. You know, some people are like, oh yeah, what's your spiritual gift? I don't know. No, you have a spiritual gift. No, I don't know. Well, give me multiple choice. We have spiritual gifts. We just have to identify and understand what is a spiritual gift. To understand, I broke it down into two parts. One, the first one is it is a supernatural gift and abilities. It is spiritually given. It's spiritual in nature. It's spiritual inspired. And it's spiritual, it's from when you're born again. So there's two things out there, the talent and the gift. We kind of mix those two together. But the spiritual gift is given to you when you are born again. And the talent is given to you through your genes, by born, it was said in the Word. It's when you're growing up, when you're born, it's in you, the talent, through the genes. That's why you see a lot of sports people, if I can use that as an example. The kids, they exceed them or be as good as them in whatever sports they're playing. So it's through the genes, or it's actually a transform when you're growing up. So that's a talent, and that's a gift. Gift is spiritually given. Amen. Everybody understand the difference? So when God died on the cross, He ascended up to heaven. And what He did is He sent the Holy Spirit. He's not here with us, but the Holy Spirit, He's here with us. So when you give your life to God, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, the born again comes into you. You're spiritually born again. And then on top of that, He brings the gift in your life. He uses spiritual gift as a tool to further His kingdom. And it's like we spoke about administration as a spiritual gift. Not all the time that she have a talent can blend it together with the gift and work the two out to build the God's kingdom. They can work together, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's always worked that way. I'll take myself as an example. I'm not really a public speaker myself. And I was growing up, I shiver when they ask me to go speak in public. In fact, I make excuses not to be. And I, you know, when they ask me to speak on something in public, I was praying a prayer that all this, Lord, come quickly, you know. Then I have to pray. Then I have to speak. And I'm not really a public speaker. But through the grace of God that I can be sitting in here, when you're inspired by the Holy Spirit, it's a different story. It's a different story. God inspired in you. You know the truth that God has spoken to you. You just want to present it. And that's the love that you have for the people. God is speaking through you to tell the truth. Bible is different. Amen? The second part of the understanding of the spiritual gift is it's divinely distributed. It's not evenly distributed, but it's divinely distributed, or Holy Spirit distributed. There was a joke that I want to share with us this morning. It's so awesome. But the captain of the boat and the chief engineer or chief mechanic, they were at the galley one time, and they were an old argument was going on for a long time, and the captain said, "Well, you know what? I can be a better chief engineer than you. I can do this. I can do." The chief engineer goes, "Well, I can be a better captain than you. I can drive boat better than you." So to solve the arguments, he said, "Okay, well, let's swap places." The chief engineer goes up to the wheelhouse, and the captain goes down to the corner. So they started rolling. And the chief engineer was behind the wheel, and the captain was trying to work on the plant and the engine and trying to keep everything online. And he was coming to a point of like, oh man, it's stuck. So he looked up to the top and he started, hey, it's not moving. And he said, oh, no wonder it's not moving. The boat is run aground. So those two, they're having issues, both of them. They think they're better than the other. But God evenly distributed spiritual gifts for us. Like we said earlier, we tend to grab on other spiritual gifts. We tend to think we're better than the other person being whatever gift that God has given them. It's evenly distributed. God gives us, each of His children, at least one spiritual gift, that salvation. The apostles had a lot. In fact, we can have more than one, but at least everybody has one spiritual gift that he can employ in the church. It keeps you to fulfill God's purpose for your life. He created each one uniquely different gifts, talents, personalities, temperaments, and passions to outfit to accomplish His unique purpose for each of us. True significance in life comes when we discover that purpose and calling, using them in our careers and ministry, which is still to come then. When you start to discover the purpose or discover what spiritual gift you have, then service comes in after that. Although they differ in many ways, all of them come from one Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12:4, I want everybody to read that. If you can put up on the a different kind of spirit. Ready? Read. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Next one. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And they are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God works. Different kind of service. Yeah? Different kind of gifts, but the same Spirit. Different kind of service, but the same God. Everything's coming together in harmony, in unity. God of style. He loves to move things around. He likes styling, like we just did this morning, moving stuff from the back to the front. He varies even in his healing. On the blind eye, he spit on that, on the eye, right? He just grabbed a mud, spit on it, and put it in his eyes. And the other one, he laid hands on them. And then the other one, he just speak the word. People heal. Miracles happen. You know, I'm spitting on the eye. You know, I cannot do that. If you're going to say, what's wrong with the eyes? Oh, something wrong. Then we never would. But God varies. He's different. He works in different ways. But different ways, different people, different gifts brings in unity. And I like this. Spiritual gifts are tools to benefit congregation and not toys to benefit individual. So our third truth this morning is the fullness of God's love is expressed in the gifts. It's for us to know Him better. Just it's for us to know Him better. He gives us a spiritual gift so we can utilize it and work. And me being out here, it took me a preparation for like a week and a half. And I've been consistently, you know, reading the Word, studying the Word. I want to know who He really is. Or I want to know what God is talking to us about the spiritual gift. And my mindset is totally changed. There was a paradigm shift. You know, I'm thinking about Him all the time. And, you know, and whatever I see, I actually decide or make my decision through what God is telling me. It's so different. I just want you guys to experience that. It's not for me to be out here saying, but it will work when you start applying the spiritual gift inside of you. It's a process. He cares for us. He loves us. He helps you understand God's will for your life. Understanding your gift in the light of His grace will enable you to make decisions as to where to serve God, how to serve God. And in many cases, it will help you to set your priorities for your life. Spiritual gifts are tools given by God for doing the work of the ministry. It helps you understand how the Holy Spirit works for you. God works through His children to accomplish His work here on earth. When you use the spiritual gift given by God, allowing God to minister for you, you literally become co-laborer with God. Isn't that amazing, working with God? Be a co-laborer. 1 Corinthians 3:9, you better have to pull this out. For we are laborers together with God. And He says the division of labor, He's saying there is simply stating that God will not do what He has called you to do, but you cannot do what God has received for Himself, reserved for Himself to do. That's what He meant in there. You guys are working together, hand in hand. He lets you do that, but He will actually support you if you need support. God wants you to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we might fill with all the fullness of God. He helps us to understand His character and His attributes. And in fact, it talks about the body of Christ coming together. It goes to 1 Corinthians 12:12. I'm going to read it to us. The body in a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by the one Spirit into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Talks about the many parts of the body. One, the eye, the hand, the leg. All those are functioned differently, but they all do that for the body to work. Amen? And then if the eye said, well, I don't need the hand, well, the whole body cannot function. Or if the hand says, well, I don't need the leg, I can move forward. Amen? So the one body with many parts, God is telling us, is talking to us this morning. We need to employ it. Spiritual gifts, we need to employ it. Use it or lose it. Employing of the spiritual gift. We talk about, you know, when you're born again, it doesn't mean when you're born again, the gift is out there, you got to stop. No, no, no. It's a process, yeah? It stages. It builds you. You have to utilize it. In church,
a love for us to utilize the gift that God given you to utilize it in church. There's so many gifts we spoke about. You just pick one. Well, let the Holy Spirit pick it for you. Amen. And one spiritual gift that everybody, which says in the Bible, that everybody has is evangelism. He said, he instructed us, he commanded us to go preach the gospel to the rest of the world. And that's the only one gift that I know deep inside my heart that God has for everybody. Evangelism. Everybody. Everybody. Evangelism. I know some of us are like, evangelism, I'm going to stand up there in the public and speak to people. You don't have to be in the public. You just, there's so many ways you can evangelize and reach out to the people. Just the love of God has for you. Just share that with people. Share the love of God, what God has done in their life. That's evangelism. We're talking about the process. Start building from there. Start building up from being the spiritual gift is being inspired in you. And start doing the process on look for what God is telling you. What is the next step? What God has ordained you to do. Talking about the process, I'll be a living testimony on that from me standing in here. It's a process. We moved from Seattle to Hawaii, not even knowing that I'm going to be involved in the church. I know who God is. I gave my life to God. But I said, hey, I ain't standing up there and preaching. It's not in my mind. Not even my dream. But it's a process that God, it molded me. He's a potter and I'm a clay. Slowly making me into a shape. Developing new words in my heart. Putting new thinking in my head. I started making the decision that God wants me to decide. And my character started changing. I learned so much in my walk. And I praise God that I'm in the church and not outside. Amen? He developed that gift for us to mature. So exercise it, what God has for you. And one thing that I will bring to us, that for us to know the gift and the process, it's been proven even out there in the world, is the destination. The 8 steps to your destination. It's all about the beginning. For you to know your ending, it's about the beginning. What you're doing in your life, in your daily life. And then he started producing your thinking. From your thinking, he started producing your emotion. From emotion, he started producing your decision. When he started deciding things, he started putting it into your action. Through your action, he started developing your habit. Through your habit, it will dictate where your destination is. So for us, this morning, it's the beginning. It's very important. If you're going to be hanging around out there with the wrong people, alcoholic or druggy, you're going to end up thinking like one of them. And then from thinking, you got to be end up having the emotion, the feeling of like a druggie. Then comes in your decision. And it started eating you up right to your destination. And that's hell. But if you're in the lifestyle from the beginning and right in way in here with through your character before your destination, it's not hopeless. God has a hope for you. You can change that from starting the beginning. Start spending time with God. Start reading His Word through prayers. It started developing your thinking. With thinking, you started thinking the Word of God. You started loving people. You're in the right place. Started thinking right people. You started building an emotion. And now it's actually creating what decisions you're making.
And then now comes in your action, faith. You're building that inside of you. Somebody's telling you, well, he's sick. No, in the name of God, you know, that person is healed with faith, believing in my heart. You know, something that was probably people saying, that, well, you're worth nothing. But you were something in the kingdom of God. You started building that inside of you. With your action. And comes in with your character. The character, the most character that we should be following now is the character of God. Love. Agape love. And then from the character comes your habit. It's your daily living. You start living with it. Start reading the Word of God. You start living with it. And sure enough, with a habit, you have your destination. And that's to be in the kingdom of God. Be nice to God. Who wants that? Amen. We all want that. So it starts from the beginning. Reading the Word of God. Be born again. Developing your spiritual gift. What God has for you, that's the only way we can grow. That's the only way we can grow. The Bible is not a lie. The truth of the Word is out here. So I encourage us. I encourage us, whatever spiritual gift you have, apply it. Apply it. And I want everybody's close as we have the worship team. I want every eyes closed. You might be here this morning. Never given your life. Don't know what born again is. You're struggling with that. You're struggling with the spirit of fear, with your destination. Or you might be out here. Dedicate yourself in the past. But backsliding, having a hard time following God. I have a good news for you. Jesus has hope for you this morning. It's not too late. It's not too late. We never know what's in tomorrow. You never know if you step out of here